Welcome to the Discotech Podcast, where we review every episode of Discovery Season 3 as it airs. All right. Well, let's get started.
Okay.
So this is Discovery, Episode 3 of Season 3. And it starts out exactly where episode 2 left off, and Michael's boarding the ship and she's meeting all her crewmates that she hasn't seen in a year. But for them, we were talking about this, it's probably closer to 6 to 12, it's under 24 hours.
Yeah, I think it's about a day. I mean, it's a long day.
Yeah,
I guess, although more accurately maybe less time since they like heard of her, because she was like outside with Spock for a while.
She was, yeah.
Yeah.
So there were a couple hours on that side, and then the wormhole. Mm-hmm. And then we see the repairs on the ship starting in daytime, and that's the sun sets, the ice is just becoming parasitic. And then basically Michael shows up. So I'm thinking 12 hours, maybe?
Yeah.
So hasn't been long for them at all. And, Tilly and Michael have this really heartfelt conversation, and Tilly just cuts right to the heart of the matter. She can sense that Michael's let them go.
Yeah. It does make sense that Michael would like let them go after like over a course of a year, but I kind of felt, I was like, was this originally supposed to be a little longer?
Mm-hmm.
Just because for them to, her to have like officially like let them go. And I was like, a year feels like a bit of a short time for all that to like that emotional journey to have happened.
I felt like that too. I felt maybe it was a little bit rushed, because I've just thought of things that I've gone through over the course of the year, and it's not quite healed just because mm-hmm. the year went by, especially when there's that open-endedness. Like she would have had a not knowing when they're going to come, and I could see her starting that journey, but she seemed a little more hardened off to them than I expected.
Yeah. And I was like, how rough was this year?
Mm-hmm.
Like, cause I was like, the way they were acting, I was like, I feel like it should have been like 2 or 3, not like a whole lot more.
Right.
Not like enough where like, it doesn't make sense that Sadiq or Martin Green doesn't look any older.
Right. Yeah.
But wait, how different would that be if Michael shows up and Michael's like visibly aged though?
Oh, yeah.
Like that would have been, they're like, oh no,
that would be something.
Yeah.
And Lewis, you were saying something about mm-hmm. her, because we were having a conversation. I was mentioning like it felt strange that Michael was asking them, so how are you guys doing, when in their reality, in their timeline, they'd seen each other only a few hours before.
Yes. I was thinking that she mentioned that she couldn't find her mother. She also knows what happened with the Federation. And I think all of that perhaps made her lost all hope. And she was like, okay, like I am going to live my life from now on. And
that's true.
I don't care anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you were saying too, it was almost like an opening for her to talk about how she felt asking them. And we do kind of do that in conversation. So how are you doing, when what you really need to talk about is how you're doing?
Yeah, it's like, please ask me how I am, because I need to talk about it. So maybe mm-hmm. because I think it's the first thing she asks about, not like how is the ship. No, it's how are you?
Yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have this conversation, and Saru officially becomes captain, which was really emotional. And
I was so happy.
It showed so much character growth on his part, because when we meet him in season 1, he's not super humble. He's been fighting Michael for years, wanting to be number one. And then she became number one. And, you know, he feels like he deserves this promotion. Fast forward all the way to season 3 now, and he's offering it to her
mm-hmm.
and having that, you know, that conversation and not fighting for it anymore. And that just showed so much growth in him.
So much more humble now. And I almost wonder if maybe the like him going through all the like changes he went through last season made him like appreciate like other styles of leadership more than he had in the past. But I'm happy that for like once the captain is not a human.
Yeah.
It's weird to me that like the main captain, I mean, Michael's still the main character, obviously, but the main captain on Star Trek shows is always humans. And I was like, that's weird.
Yeah, because they have this huge universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited to see it. And it's just so phenomenally well acted by Doug Jones, that role.
He's so good.
He really is.
Every scene. Can you imagine like having to act through that prosthetics?
No, and that's the thing, the fact that he is able to emote at all inside this thing, this mask, this makeup that they have him in.
Mm-hmm.
So then Earth contacts them, and that goes really fast.
Yeah, and they're not pleased about it.
No.
I do love the immediately when they were like trying to be, and it fell apart of, like almost immediately when they're trying to be like, we're a generational ship. And I was like, your ship is really old. And they're just like, your ship is really old. What? Like,
yeah, I thought when he said that, I was like, this is a great idea. Like, and it felt like he came up with it kind of on the fly. And Michael's like, good job, you know? And I was like, yeah, how long could they pull off that they are the children of whoever? I'm like, this is excellent. And then it just like disintegrates in minutes.
I was like, I feel like that would be fine. Except occasionally you'd be like, and how did you end up with like one random full alien? Like Saru.
Right. Okay. So Captain and Doyle beams aboard. So Earth had kind of fallen into doing things wrong. And she was telling us they stopped talking to other people, which is exactly what the Federation was doing, was diplomacy as much as possible. We don't fire first. And it was kind of sad to see that the Earth had fallen away from that and kind of backtracked to exclusionary policies.
It hurt because I was like, I'm not saying I don't see how this would happen. However, just oof. Like, oh no.
Yeah. Well.
Also, I think the Earth Defense Force, I think it was called, they had very, very military-like uniforms. Like you can see they are soldiers. They are not explorers.
Yeah.
Do.
That's true. So Adira is beamed aboard at the same time and just immediately gets on the nerves of Stamets and Tilly and just really irritates them. And it was really cute. And I loved Stamets in this whole episode because he's just like, he's such a nurturer deep down. Like he's gruff and he tries to come off, but he's all sweet on the inside.
He doesn't want to be the nurturer, but he can't help it.
Right.
I feel like he maybe doesn't usually have to play the role because he's literally married to a doctor in a loving relationship with a doctor.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Tilly, and she has this really funny line at that point, and it's something like, yeah, we're all smart here. You're smart. Yeah, we're all smart here. And they're like, and Stamets asks, you know, how old she is.
I do love them talking about, like, you live in a museum.
Like, yes, that was cute.
Like, oh, rude. Like,
yeah, some people like museums.
Mm-hmm.
So as they're beaming aboard, Michael and Book sneak off the bridge and she gets him in a uniform and she likes him in that uniform.
She is not wrong. He looks good.
And I just want to add in here that I'm so grateful that Book and Michael are not a couple yet in this episode because they saved that for us to see and enjoy all the drama of it.
Yes, same. Because I kind of assumed Michael's going to show up and be like, oh yeah, I have a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's one of the reasons they decided to only go with a year. So it would make more sense that the relationship hasn't developed quite to that point yet.
Yeah, which is true because she's been dealing with the fact that she's 1,000 years into the future and, you know, maybe
on
she
her
doesn't,
own.
Yeah, doesn't need to jump into something out of desperation.
Yeah. And she also like had literally kissed Ash like the day before she met Book.
Like, but I think it's still clear that they're, you know, that they're attracted
into
each other. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And I saw someone say on Twitter that it was so refreshing that they had that scene where they're changing outfits and nobody did the sneak a peek cliche.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that scene where he says, aye, aye, Captain. And she says, one eye, we're not pirates. I love that.
That's very informative because, well, I didn't know in English it's like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would be more for pirates.
That's true. Michael and Giorgio have a quick scene. Giorgio's an admiral, got her little admiral uniform on.
I thought that was funny.
Go straight for the top.
Nobody, like, why, if they were one ship, why would you make anybody an admiral? There's no one to be, you don't have an armada of ships, you have the one.
The heart wants what the heart wants.
Like, for their backstory. Yeah.
It was great. Michael and Book leave the ship. They kidnap Captain Wen, who we learn later is from Titan.
Titan's a moon or something, right?
Yes, Saturn.
Yeah, okay.
We have our actual science.
I was just like, Titan's a moon. Riker had a ship with that name. That's yes. The breadth of my knowledge.
Yes. I knew Titan was a celestial body in our solar system.
Yeah.
And I thought it probably wasn't a planet because it wasn't on the little song I memorized in second grade. So
Do you remember?
There were things I memorized as planets that are no longer planets. So for all I knew, they threw another one in there.
It's true.
If you remember Star Trek 09, the Enterprise hides on Titan.
Oh, yeah.
And when it's rise, you see Saturn at the background.
Oh, okay.
It's funny. The big reveal was just that he was human, but because they kept that mask on him for so long, I thought for a brief second, I was like, is it going to be someone we know? And I went, how is that even possible? They've jumped 900 years into the future.
Yeah, fellow time traveler. Yeah. So I wasn't expecting at all that they were human. I thought that was a really good surprise. It worked on me.
It did kind of work on me. I think I thought there were going to be like another Federation alien species. And then when they were like, oh, they're human, just humans that weren't on Earth.
Yeah.
It's like, of course there would be some, not like they had traveled a long, like far, far away from Earth at that point.
Yeah. And Stamets confronts Adira. They reveal themselves to be Senna Tal, who Michael had picked up that signal from about 10 years before.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So,
So they have Central's Trill symbiont, right? Is that
yes,
the way?
Exactly.
I thought it was interesting. Well, because Saru was explaining to Michael what a Trill symbiont was. And then I remembered, I was like, oh yeah, in that Next Gen episode, they implied they didn't know about them, even though they knew about Trills, which was just, I guess, good for new audiences, but which is funny, like having watched Deep Space Nine, and you just see so much about symbionts in there. And I was like, oh yeah, at this point, the point they came from, the Federation just didn't know that the Trills, like this major part of Trill society.
That's true. And so Riker had a Trill in him for a short time as well, but being human, it didn't really work. So I'm assuming that technology and medical technology has improved or changed in some way so that it could be...
I think it's improved, but I think it basically had different problems in that that they can't access the memory, but when Riker had it in him, it just completely took over his body and he wasn't Riker anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas that's not, like, it's supposed to be a symbiotic relationship. That's why symbiont.
Well, Trills from TNG and DS9 are a bit different because...
That's true.
Like, they changed their minds for DS9, so there are some problems there.
Yeah, there are. In the joke always made, I was like, either they got rid of the idea that transporters hurt them, or Jadzia just doesn't care.
So then Adira stays on the Discovery,
mm-hmm.
and Michael stays on Discovery and becomes number one.
Yep.
Just seemed really fitting, and I was glad that she stayed because I was a little afraid she wouldn't.
Yeah, I was like, are you leaving? You can't, you're the main character.
Yeah, how are we gonna follow you around and Discovery?
I also like, it's like kind of a full circle moment for Michael, like she's gotten back to the rank she was at the beginning.
It's true. It's true. It took 3 years or 1,000 years.
Yeah, it took. You got back to where you were. Only took 1,000 years.
She saved the Federation and she saved the universe, perhaps. And the only thing she got was her old rank back.
That's true.
She got her old rank. She got her old rank and a new hairdo. That's about it.
Yeah.
And a fat cat.
Yes, but not even now the cat left. Although I think we're going to see Book again. And I did write in our show notes here, Book leaves with a little sad face because it was sad to see him leave.
Yeah, I definitely think we're seeing him again.
And then there was the last moment in front of the huge tree.
Yes, that's them hugging the tree got to me, but also them like backing out and the Golden Gate Bridge was still there got to me.
Yeah.
So I was like, something's still there.
Yeah.
Like,
yep. All right. Well, I can't wait for next week. Can't wait to talk to you guys about it.
Yep. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
All right. It's good talking to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.